Actually, today is like the main day of the Congress. Where's this echo from? What is it there? Speakers? Like that? Okay. Well, do we need it? One. Why is it? Come here. Why is this speaker working in delay? Turn it off. Today, we chose what's today's topic? The necessity of care with nature's laws, according to the Article of the Peace from Baal HaSalam. Again, it's all around what's happening today in our world. The Kabbalists are warning us that we should study not only the corporeal laws that we have in physics and chemistry and biology and zoology and geology and astronomy, that we also need to learn the laws that belong to the human level, that in humans too, which were created by nature, there are laws, and we don't know them, but these laws affect the human society too, they act in the human society too, and we need to know about it, because we can see that not knowing these laws brings us into constant mistakes. We're like little kids, we want to build a certain world, but we don't understand if it matches nature's laws or not. And we build it, and it's ruined. We build it, and it's ruined. It constantly changes, and we constantly suffer. We fall into mistakes and problems and wars and whatnot. We evoke on ourselves all kinds of bad forces from nature, diseases, tsunamis, hurricanes, cold and heat, and who knows what's waiting for us. And it's all because we don't know nature's laws. If we built our lives better, in a way that's more suitable to the surrounding nature, then we would be in harmony with the rest of the world, and then no bad feedback would come to us. Right now, we keep getting negative feedbacks, which actually want to direct us towards something good, but we don't understand them. Nature beats us up or sends us a blow, and we don't know where that blow comes from or why, because we don't know the nature's system. I do something bad here. Where I do something bad, I don't feel that it's bad. I somehow manage with it. Suddenly a blow comes to me from another level, and new diseases. So I deal with these new diseases instead of correcting what I corrupted before, which caused these diseases in the first place. So I deal with them. I improve the medicine. And let's say I heal a certain illness, but because I didn't correct the reason for the illness, then I get a double blow. So that's how it always happens. I don't know where the troubles come from, and I'm constantly in a world where I'm constantly trying to put myself in order. I'm not talking about a good and comfortable state of peace. I'm talking about survival, just to suffer as less as possible. But we can see that these things only intensify. And in the end, humanity is now beginning to think about the reason for all these blows. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, our main book is Talmud HaSefirot, the study of the Ten Sefirot, which in this book explains to us about the structure of the spiritual world, meaning the connection between us and the Creator. There's a Creator, and there's a creature, a person, and the creators, and between the creators' influence on a person, there are worlds. Should I write olamot or worlds? Okay, I'll write olam in Hebrew. Olam is world. Upper world. Olam elyon. And that's the system that's in between, like an adapter. It connects. It adapts the creator to the creature and the creature to the creator. In Talmud Esther Sfirot, we're taught that system. Of course, if we know it, our lives become much simpler. Through it, we can connect to the Creator, to the upper force. We can, just as with each other, we have a common language, we have a common understanding. I know a person's character, I know his mentality, he knows mine, my character, mentality, my language. So then we can connect. That's the system of the world. That's its purpose. Its objective. In the introduction to this special book, Talmud Esther Sfirot, Introduction to the Study of the Ten Sfirot, Bala Sulam writes that those who come to the wisdom of Kabbalah are people who are asking, what am I living for? What is the reason for all the blows I'm suffering in life? Why can't a person come to study Kabbalah in a nice, simple way, out of good things? Why does he have to suffer, to be tormented, to think about life, and why does life have to be unsatisfying? Why not through abundance? We see that people have enough, say, money. They have a house, family, maybe they have everything, but they begin to feel empty. They just feel empty and they have to fill themselves. And then, with this question, what am I living for? After many, many searches, it might be decades, he, in the end, comes to the wisdom of Kabbalah. When his desire is ready to find the answer, he comes to Kabbalah. And he begins to learn how to connect to the Creator, really. Because this is the answer. Here, that's where it is, in the Creator. The connection with the Creator is called Ein Sof, infinity. That's the symbol in math, to Ein Sof, infinity. No boundaries, and that's how we mark it. So the answer to our whole lives is here, with the Creator. So a person has to study all these worlds, how they are in me, in the person. It's not something out there, somewhere in the air. This hidden system is inside of us. It's internal. And I develop it. When I develop it, it's considered that I elevate myself in my awareness, in my desires, in my consciousness. I elevate myself to the level of the Creator. I have to develop, open up this system in me, the system of the worlds that's in me. It's called olamot, worlds, from the word he'elem, concealment. It's hidden because it's concealed from me. That's why it's called olam, from the word concealment in Hebrew, he'elem, or ha'alama, concealment. And when I develop and discover this system in me, so through 125 degrees, or over 125 degrees, I discover the Creator. So a person always arrives with a question, with suffering, with a deficit. Why not as a result of good life? Because we are a desire to receive, to enjoy. That's our nature. Our nature is desires. And only these desires push us forward. If I feel good in them, I can't move. The desire doesn't let me move. It maintains its state. A desire that's a little empty begins to search where it can find a chance to complement itself. A desire that's completely empty doesn't let me rest and forces me to run around until I can satisfy it. Therefore, if our desire is aimed towards the purpose of creation, to know why what we're living for, why we are alive, is there a point to life, then this desire is one that brings you to the wisdom of Kabbalah. And there are those who are still on the way and will come. And there are those who are still very far from it. In them, this desire, as we said yesterday, will gradually become clearer, all kinds of forms, not the way it is among us, where it burns and demands fulfillment, but to a lesser extent. But the desire, the emptiness, the suffering, the absence of fulfillment has to be there, and it has to be sensed in a person. And we can see that our world, and especially our generation, how on the one hand, we all come from developed countries. It's not that like we're starving or we don't have a place to sleep. But this emptiness is in every one of us. Yes, what am I living for? Deeper within a person, there's this question, and without answering it, it's hard for us to keep living. We provide for what we need, we continue living, we shut our eyes and continue. But this burden eats us from within. And that's why our generation is suffering more than previous generations. Where although there seems to be more affluence, the emptiness is also greater. Emptiness is more qualitative. In other words, we feel that it is the essence of life that we can't obtain. We don't know why we're living, what we're living for. That's why more and more people are waking up with these questions and arrive at Kabbalah, because it is intended to discover our connection with the Creator. And according to this connection, we can advance towards Him. And that's our goal. But today, there's even a bigger problem, because it's not just one person, people begin with this question, you know, what am I living for individually, and come to Kabbalah as it was, say, 15 or 20 years ago. Actually, that period was very short. When I started studying with Rabash, when I came to him, he had 6 or 7 old men studying with him. They were all about 70. He was 75. They were a few years younger. So 6 or 7 old men were studying. That's it. That was it. When I came, I was 30. Well, 29 and a half. It was in the winter. And when I came, afterwards, I brought new students. Guys, they were about 25 years old. And they were the only ones who were studying Kabbalah at the time. It was 1980, 82, 83. And there wasn't any study of Kabbalah anywhere. It was forbidden to talk about. Everyone rejected it. They thought it was mysticism. They thought it was curses, some powers that you can ruin the world with it, that people go crazy as a result, and all kinds of stuff. Just because they didn't know. So, you know, they thought about it, a whole lot of things. And that was the first group in human history that just came to study people who were not connected to religion or to anything, came to study. at a young age, just because they had that question of what they were living for. And it was a small group. All the people that I brought over the years were about 40 people. And that was from 1980 to 1995. And then, all of a sudden, masses began to come to Kabbalah. You could suddenly hear the word Kabbalah in all kinds of places. That was interesting, that it was, that you could profit through it, it was worthwhile. So people just started discovering it. In other words, loads of people started arriving. So the generation where there was a small group that was studying was 15 years. And then all of a sudden it started, this desire started, desire to discover life's meaning started to spread all over the world. And today, we are in the thousands all over the world in whom this desire to discover what we're living for is burning, and where is the other half of my life, the one that's hidden from me before I'm born, after I die, what happens with me, who governs me, what am I living for here, what is the essence of my every act and everything I do, why do something in life if I don't know it, I have no motivation, no energy, I have no energy to do anything in life, because it's purposeless. So people fall into depression, drug abuse, because they have no reason to live. And that's how every person is, and the world in general, is kind of being admitted into the discovery of life's secret here in this world on Earth. And the secret is, for the time being, secret, because it should open, only to the extent that a person opens from within. That we need, because we need more qualities, we need more desires. Because our perception of this world is only in our desire. We're just desires, as I drew it here. We're just a desire. Discernments. So, if I have a desire for something, I can see it. If the desire disappears from me, I seemingly forget about it. There are things before us that we don't detect, we don't sense, because I have no desire for them, because I receive everything in the desire. So, how can we develop these desires, these new desires? Kabbalists tell us that you can develop these desires only through society, from which you can be impressed, you can be under its influence, and you can acquire the new desires that exist in society. Where do these new desires exist in society from? The ones that don't exist in me? I and them are the same. So they say no. You can say you want spirituality, the Creator, that's you saying it. But you can't affect yourself. If others tell you that they want spirituality in the Creator, the spiritual world, then you will be affected. Even if they're lying. Even if they're like you, they're just saying they want to. They don't even, even if they don't know what they want and where they want to go. But if they talk about it, it becomes important to you. And then this way, you add new desires to yourself. Truly new desires for spirituality, which you previously didn't have. You had something like the beginning of something. It's called the point in the heart. We're on top of this beginning, and that's why you came to the group. That's why you can receive impressions from it, because you have a beginning like a nucleus, like a seed in the ground. But to cultivate that seed into a tree, you can only do that through society.
And the environment, society is like you, where they don't know what they're talking about. But if it becomes important to them, it's worth your while incorporating them. And here, let them wash your brain. Brainwash you. And from that brainwashing, what we call, you'd start wanting things that have no value, prior value, for your egoistic desire. No appreciation for it. We see how nowadays we want in the world all kind of things that society wants. And indeed, there's nothing that special about it. But society respect, let's say, what? Clothing, cars, some holidays, some, even though I, from my own nature, I don't really find interest in that. But if everyone does it, oh, everyone says it's good, you know, like, I must be like everyone. I can go through my whole life with a pajama on me, you know, it's comfortable and good. Yeah, it's true, it is most comfortable, but walk like that in the street, you can't, you know. Society respect a certain look, then you have to work to acquire that look. So we constantly do what society expects from us. So we have to be like everyone in society. We have to fulfill that expectation. So even though it's not important for a person, because it is important for society, a person follows that and is obliged in what society wants. Correspondingly for us in spirituality, if we want spirituality and it is concealed from me, I must come to a society that would tell me great things about that concealed spirituality. It's great, it's important, it's something special, it's only that worthwhile in your whole life, and it's only for that it's worth working and investing yourself, and so on and so forth. When I hear that from them, although they're not really doing as much as they're talking, but I'm impressed by the words. And then I'm turned on. And then I'm truly running towards the goal. This is the force of society. Bala Sulam explained it in the article, the freedom of choice, the freedom. By in such way a person can acquire such new desires and such yearning to realize them until he feels spirituality within those desires. Because we spoke about it, that if I have a desire for spirituality, then I will attain it. I can attain it. I don't have any problem. I just need a desire for it, that I would identify more things around me. Therefore, I need to develop those desires. They are with me, in me, those desires, the dot in the heart, but to develop it, to surround them, to embrace them, develop them.
To prefer them to the desires of the human society.
To prefer them to desires that the normal society tell me. Comparing to all the values that are in this world, if the group influence me stronger than the human society around us, then I'll follow the group. And then I prefer spiritual development instead of all of these corporeal developments, which I need to care for them. I need to look after my corporality, but to the degree that I provide my basic needs. And that's it, because at the end of the day, the only thing that fulfills me is to what extent I grow in spirituality. And therefore, we have to organize a group, a world group, virtual and usual, ordinary, in a way that will influence each and every one, superior spiritual values which are worth attaining, and not chasing all kind of nonsense and burning time in the following way. Because when you burn time, you come back in the next incarnation and you become worse. And you have to keep working the same path, because you can't come to the purpose of creation, the adhesion with the Creator, and be like Him, unless a person acquires by himself each degree, each step in that path. Because in each degree and each step, he acquires the Creator's nature to be like Him. There's no options here to avoid it, or have some special deals or anything. Everyone must realize his own Neshama, just like his soul descended from the Creator through all that spiritual world to this world. Same now, through all those stages, he has to acquire the nature he lost, where he was like the Creator, inside the Creator. He now has to acquire that nature by himself. And then he called Adam, from the world Adame, to the Creator. Be like. Therefore, it is very, very important for us to organize around each and every one, around all of us, our society, the strongest and unified and burning as we can, and not to forget anyone, to include and care for everyone, not allow everyone to drop off. Because if everyone, according to their bestial nature, turns to, you know, cut corners for himself. So we have to build that right structure that would guarantee me to advance towards the goal, that would not let go of me, that would always guard for me and care for me, that would always provide me a strong desire to spirituality, to the purpose of creation. So I would not remain like a beast in this life according to my nature. If I have such environment, society, then I'm for sure will reach the goal. To receive such attitude, such care from society, that guaranteeing to care for a person strongly, not to let go of him, such relations called arvut, where society is guarantor towards each and every friend that will care for him and provide him all the impression, all the forces, all the yearning to reach the goal. Because we are all, in essence, once entering that society, we are in its hands. Therefore, today we're going to have a conversation about our virtual kli with Avihu. And I truly, truly recommend, as much as possible, stick to what we're about to build. In that depends all our good future. That was the preface to the lesson, yeah? Okay. He found something good for us. From article, the peace, page 200.
It's from the article, The Freedom. That's why those who delve and try every time to find a better environment is worthy of the reward and the praise. Read slower, because there's translation. That's why one who delves, who strains during his life and chooses a better environment every time, is worthy of praise and reward. And here too, it's not because of his thoughts and good deeds that come to him by necessity, without his choice, but because of his effort to acquire a good environment, which brings him to these thoughts and actions.
Meaning, all in all, as much as a person connected to society, the right society, the more he invests in it, seemingly the society gives back to him. We have examples from Kabbalist groups in the past and in the old days, from 2,500 years ago even. And it's also not important who is the person in relation to society. A person can be great. In society is a society of his students. But they, those students, provide the person a desire, importance of the goal. I'm asking, please lower your headphones to the minimum that you need, because otherwise it's interfere to all your friends around you. And put both headphones in your ear, not one hanging there. And put the volume down to a normal state, the minimum necessary to hear. But otherwise, I from here, translation to English, German. Think about your neighbors. Okay. So in those tales, they tell us, Kabbalists, that it doesn't matter the degree of a person towards the society. It could be much higher spiritual degree from the whole of society. But society is lacked towards the goal. The importance, you have nowhere else to get it from. Therefore, even a great teacher must have these students, because these students give him the urge, the questions, the support, the greatness of the goal that they want to reach. And accordingly, he will grow. It is written, from all my students, I acquired wisdom. It is written that I learned a lot from my teachers, and more from my friends, and even more so from my students. Meaning from students, you learn even more. Because as much as they want to reach the goal, and you can buy this desire and use it to come to it. Therefore, no one has to make calculation what group he's in, beginners, new guys, no lot, no little. The main thing is the desire. If someone has a strong desire to the goal, if they have great appreciation to the goal, that's what I need from them. Then beside that, all I need is just to enter for them to influence me. And then once I lower my head down and let them influence me to be impressed by them. And in that work depends all of our future. As much as a person works on himself, to lower himself in relation to society. Okay, you'll talk about it during the workshop. And we will continue in what? Okay, first of all, is there any questions about what we talked so far? Yes. Okay, there are two mic stands. Whoever wants can walk towards it and wait for his turn to ask a question. Right in the beginning of your words today, you talked about the relationship between the root. When someone develops a disease, then if you don't deal with the root, then you develop a greater disease. How is a person supposed to know what is the root? So the question is as follows. We spoke, say, if I do something wrong in one place, I don't complete my work, yeah? Towards the goal, towards the Creator always, yeah? And instead of that, in return, I get sometime a problem in income, sometime a disease, sometime an accident in something, all kind of other things. The root for all of those problems is one. The fact that I have not realized my Reshimo. There is a Reshimo here. And I need to realize it, yeah? It's some kind of information. A measurement in me that I have to, a degree that I have to realize. And if I have not realized it, I should have gone to the next degree if realizing it. But I have not raised to the next degree. So in the meantime, by not raising to the next degree, another Neshimo is coming. The next one that I need to realize. And then I'm in a deficit. The gap between those two stages that I'm already in a deficit, running behind, comes to me on the level of still vegetative, alive and speaking in all kind of manners that are right to my root of my soul. According to the degree that I have to correct now, there's all kind of measurements here, myself and the world, that I had to complete here in the relation between me and the world, and it's multifaceted. Myself with all kind of desires in me, with all kind of qualities in me, and the world with all its desires and qualities of Ein Sof that I should have advanced towards it one step. So in me there's, let's say, 613 variations that I have to correct in my qualities and desires, and the world of Ein Sof, there's also 613 variations that I should have advanced towards them in all kind of manners according to the personality of my soul. So we can't, we don't know about it. I can't say in what, I cannot say in what sum, in all these, in total of 613, in what integral integration I need to make this calculation and come up to some summary. And in what exactly has to change in me? I do not understand that.
We call it a patsuf. I'm not sure how to write it. Patsuf, maybe this way? How to spell it? So we call it a patsuf. In a patsuf, you always have changes between each two steps. But I still don't know this patsuf. First, I have to have this patsuf dressed in me, so I'll know. If I haven't realized it, then all I have is a point, like a drop of semen, like a seed. From that point, I have to develop a patsuf, an embryo. That's what we learn, how to develop an embryo from a point, and then an infant, and then a grown-up. That's how my soul develops. But while I'm a point, I don't know how all kinds of blows will come to me. If I already have a small patsuf, and I have to rise to the next level, to a greater patsuf, then I can somehow guess what happens here, because the greater patsuf brings down what is called its achap. It's achap. To my galgalta enayim. And then I can somehow, perhaps, guess. Still, it's very difficult, because the higher patsuf is always more giving, more creator, more of the creator. And until I reach it, that part is always hidden. That's why we are forbidden to guess the future, to go to all kinds of fortune tellers, because these things only deflect you, distract you. Because instead of telling me where I have to go, in other words, how you have to change in order to reach a goal, they tell me, fix up something in this life, or be careful of this or that thing. They completely take me off course. And by that, they only inflict greater problems on me. That's why we are forbidden to turn to fortune tellers. Okay? No more questions? Okay, so we'll follow the article that we chose. Yes. So Gilad will read and will explain what Baal HaSulam is writing. So we're reading from the article of peace. You'll also receive those pages when they were sent to you. Oh, wait, yes? The article is The Peace. Section Necessity to Practice Caution with the Laws of Nature. We can all plainly see that the human species must lead a social life, meaning it cannot exist and sustain itself without the help of others. Therefore, imagine an event where one retires from society to a desolate location and lives there a life of misery and great pain. And great pain due to his inability to provide for his needs. That person would have no right to complain about Providence or his fate. And if that person were to do that, meaning complain and curse his bitter fate, he would only be displaying his stupidity. This is because while Providence has prepared for him a comfortable, desirable place in society, he has no justification to retire from it to a desolate place. Such a person must not be pitied, since he is going against the nature of creation. In other words, we're in a society, and we're built in such a way that we can't escape society. And the process that humanity has to experience is one where a person is tied more and more and more to society and senses more and more dependent on society. If I used to live previously on a piece of land and provide for all my needs, I even made my own clothes and I made my own meat and bread from my little field and from my cows and whatnot. Today, I cannot do that. I'm completely dependent on society for everything, and I cannot provide anything to myself. And our lives are so complex that we can see, yes, what can we do without electricity? Or in everything is like that. Today, we are in such an interconnected world that I don't just belong to my society, to my village, to my city, to my country. I belong to the world. If we go into a supermarket, you can see that there are products there from all over the world. Maybe my country provides maybe 10% of what I have, and the rest of the 90% comes from the rest of the world. So we see that people develop in the human society, which brings us to the necessity to be connected to each other. Yes. And since he has the option to live as Providence has ordered him, he should not be pitied. That sentence is agreed upon by all of humanity without dispute. So what do we see from nature? If a person moves away from society, he suffers. Right? There are those who like it and do it deliberately. But an ordinary person, and we're talking about the majority, cannot stay away from society because the farther away they are from it, they will lack the services that society provides. So the law of nature acts towards bringing us into further and further closeness and connectedness. The world is becoming more dense, more tight, more. It closes in on me, so I'm dependent on it in a thousand ways. The media and all that, we're all built kind of by the whole world, that we see that from wherever you are, whatever happens to you, everyone's basically very similar. We all have the same culture, same education, same attitude towards life, same news. We're all dependent on the same financial crisis, on the same ecological problems in every way. If there's a plague in cows or chickens in India or China, everyone suffers. That's how we are. And that's the law of nature. And I can add and establish it on a religious basis and give it such a form. Since Providence extends from the Creator, who undoubtedly has a purpose in his actions, since there is no act without a purpose, we find that anyone who breaks a law from the laws of nature that he has imprinted in us corrupts the purposeful aim. Go ahead. Because the purpose is undoubtedly built over all the laws of nature, none excluded, just as a clever worker would not add or subtract even a hair's breadth of the necessary actions to attain the goal. He who alters even a single law harms and damages the purposeful aim that the Creator has set and will therefore be punished by nature. Hence, we too, creatures of the Creator, must not pity him, because he is desecrating the laws of nature and defiles the purpose of the Creator. That, I believe, is the form of the sentence. In other words, we can't escape it. Some people say, I don't care. Today, many people are saying, I don't steal, I don't kill. What do you want from me? Leave me alone. I have my own little piece of freedom. I don't belong to anyone. Leave me alone. And that's everyone's problem, really, today. It's the education that we'll have to bring to the world now. Here, at this point, is where our education has to be clear. Because if a person does some big harm to society, if he takes from society more than he deserves, then normally we catch him and we punish him somehow, one way or another. In other words, correct him. But if a person doesn't take, but simply doesn't give to society, then there's a problem, because he doesn't think he owes them. And even society says, if he sits at home and doesn't do anything, he doesn't harm anyone. Let's say he's on an unemployment. There are many people like that in Europe and in America, tons like it. They don't do anything. They receive some. They can go and get a salary, but they get a third of it or a half of it, and they settle for it. So they're not doing any harm. What do you want from them? We don't understand that in the global system, one who isn't given as much as he can, as much as he must, according to the structure of the system and his own structure, harms as though he is stealing, because he is robbing his own participation. Because we're built in such a way that we must all, we owe to our system. We have to work in our system. And that's the main problem that we're creating in the human society. We don't understand why we're suffering, why we have problems all the time, why there is such a crisis all of a sudden, why the hurricanes, tsunamis, and all kinds of depression, diseases, drugs, and terrorism. Where's it all coming from? We don't understand that the problem is not that we're stealing. We're not such great thieves. Our problem is that we're not contributing. We're not given to the system. And it's built in such a way that everyone must participate as according to his makeup, where he is positioned in his soul. And that's the problem. So, until we start calculating correctly in an integral way in our participation in the whole system, we will not understand where the problem is. We will not understand it. The financiers and the thinkers and politicians and sociologists can dwell over it as much as they want. They will not understand it, and they will not discover the reason for the problem, because the reason is lack of participation, not stealing. In other words, the problem is not that I take more from others or that I use others. That's not what we're talking about. Our problem is, now that we've reached a global connection, our problem is in lack of participation. Just imagine if that's a system like my own body, where each part has to give its share. You saw cogwheels, right? You saw our clip, right? And all of a sudden, a wheel doesn't want to work. Yes, we're all connected. And, well, I can't draw it here like it is in spirituality. In spirituality, just imagine, that's a soul. If that's a soul, So, in the drawing, I'm connected to several souls around me. But it's not like that. In spirituality, everyone's connected to everyone else. Because it's truly an integral system. I'm connected to everyone. I touch everyone. So if I correct myself, I can cause everyone's correction. Not by a chain reaction until it comes to someplace. But every movement that I make necessarily changes everyone else. So, let's say that's me. If I stop myself and I don't want to move, by that I stop the whole system. I might say, what do you want from me? Am I stealing anything from anyone? No. Do I have any bad thoughts about you? No. We're unaware of how this system is. Now it should appear. We still don't understand where we went into with today's globalization, what we ended up in. Now the calculation is not that America is exploiting China and Russia is exploiting Europe with its oil and gas. It's not these unsubtle things. It's a lot. It's about a lot more internal things, a lot subtler things. And these major things, they'll get on some one way or another. The problem is not in brutal force that I use to take from others. That's not enough. It's in giving. That's the problem. And Bala Sulam says that we're very weak at giving.
We don't understand how. To receive, I can say, oh, that's not right, I shouldn't do that, I don't deserve this, I would like to be generous with everyone, like to leave them as much as it's theirs, even though I would take to myself only what I need for my own life, and the rest is just for society to take. I just need a bit of feed, some room, family, minimal things. Essentials, what we call. And beside that, nothing. It's not enough. Where is your participation in the movement of all these wheels? That is what you have to give. And now, we start having that calculation upon us from the side of nature. Therefore, it is not just like that, tell each other person, we're all interconnected. There are laws here in this nature that we don't know yet. And in order not to suffer from the lack of operating by them, it is worth a while learning them in advance and agree with them as much as possible, even internally, to agree that it's worthwhile coming close to it. We're already closer to nature by that. If I just, okay, I don't understand what I have to give, I don't understand how do I need to be with humanity, there's something missing on my side, I learned, but I agree with the studying, I agree with the participation. That's perfect. That's enough for me to be in the same direction with nature. I will not get blows anymore. Nature now will teach me softly. Like a kid that agree with the parents, that, okay, teach me. I was wrong, I agreed to do what you want now. That's what we're lacking now, as humanity. Because otherwise the blows would be much stronger than that blow that's also only in its infancy, all these financial blows. So that's what he wants to say. Our problem is in participation. Onwards. And I believe that it is not a good idea for anyone to contradict this from that I have given to the sentence, because the words of the sentence are one. For what is the difference if we say that the supervisor is called nature, meaning mindless and purposeless, or saying that the supervisor is wise? In the end, we all admit and agree that we are obliged to keep the commandments of providence, meaning the laws of nature, and we all admit that one who breaks the commandments of providence, meaning the laws of nature, should be punished by nature and must not be pitied by anyone. Thus, the nature of the sentence is the same, and the only difference is in the motive. They maintain that the motive is necessary and maintain that it is purposeful. To avoid having to use both tongues from now on, nature and supervisor, between which, as I have shown, there is no difference regarding the following of the laws. It is best for us. The punishment comes to us in an indirect way. Therefore, this commandment is not kept as it should. Therefore, humanity is cooked fried slowly in a big stew, and the swords and the pain has not refrained from it. And it is wondrous how nature is like a judge that punishes us according to our calculation with our development. And we see that as much as we develop as humanity, so it is harder for us and more painful to maintain our existence. The upper force acts from his endless degree. His commandments, meaning his influence from his force, comes to us through the system of nature. This is, in essence, that's why we feel his influence so gentle. Because the Creator, this force of nature, the force of love and bestow, that appears to us through the system of the worlds. Maybe that's better. This is the force of love and bestow. And then if I'm in this world, and this force of love and bestow come to me through these reductions, concealments, then I receive a bit of influence from him. Here it's endless bestowal, endless love. But if I ascend to a higher degree, then I receive only through four worlds. And so on. That's how a person has to ascend until he receives the influence of the Creator, just as the Creator is. the bestowal of the Creator. And for these concealment, those degrees, what I want to say, all the nature does with us, as to us, also today, also now, in order for us to start advancing the degrees of the world, and in the quickest way possible, because we know that we don't have much time left to go through all those things. It's 6,000 years minus 5,769, yeah? How much is it all together? 231. That's all we have left. Within 231 years, let's hope beforehand, we must, the whole of humanity, to come to equivalence, total equivalence with the Creator. Therefore, the Shemot now, when we came now, only now we actually came to that stage when we started saying together. What was before, and it was just those with a system advanced in order to develop the system of Kabbalah. They used to reveal it from one generation to another and develop it and write for us. But to realize the system is only our generation. We're the first one along with you. We are that special generation that start. You are actually the first ones. And this is why we have to understand that the pace that has been today, through millions of years, tens of thousands of years in humans' development, in all these formations from slavery to medieval, feudalism, capitalism, and so forth and so on, that wouldn't work now. That would be every day, every month would be new things. And therefore, the calculation, especially now, as we spoke, would be according to a person's giving and not according to how much you receive. Receiving, obviously, everyone would be punished for it, but the calculations on giving, are you participating correctly in globalization? Are you as a cogwheel move together with everyone? Moving together with everyone in the correct manner. Beforehand, we didn't have such calculation. You know how is it in the gears in the car. There's many cogwheels, and I press the clutch, and then those cogwheels separate from one another. They're not in movement. The engine spins, and the cogwheels just move whichever way they feel like. I let go of the clutch, and then they connect with the engine. And no one can come out of this connection with the other. So during the whole of humanity's history, we had no connection with one another. The gears weren't in. Without connection, the engine used to work, the wheels move, one without any connection to the other. We weren't in the small villages, we all connected to one another. Now, that's it. The Creator closed the clutch. We're now interdependent. And therefore, the calculation is different. That's what I want to emphasize. The calculation is not by reception, as we always been careful through all those years about this, the damage society and harm society and so on. But calculation now is also on giving. That he who is not giving, to the same extent, he is damaging. Therefore, you see, is a basis, a scientific basis, that we are ordered to execute according to the measurement of necessity, to the degree that he has to contribute to the success of society and to their richness. And as long as we fail to execute it, nature will not cease punish us and take its toll on us. And beside the laws we suffer today, we must also consider the laws they drawn swords for the future. The right conclusion must be drawn, that nature will ultimately defeat us and we will be compelled to join hands in following mitzvot with the measure required of us.
Questions? None? Great. Yes.
Everything is about the giving.
Добрый вечер, микрофон. To microphone.
Sorry, do you hear me now? Yeah. You are always talking about the giving. That's the whole clue, and it's how we give is the problem.
But hold on a minute. אתה מדבר על זה שעל הנתינה ועל זה שאנחנו לא נותנים, זה בעצם הבעיה המרכזית.
אני מדבר על זה שבנוסף למה שאנחנו,
I'm saying that in addition to what we would always like to, what we always want to steal, that we were punished for by society and by nature, today we'll start being punished even for lack of giving, which from this day forth will be considered like stealing. If I have to work towards society and give to society, say, a month of work, and in this month I just took, you know, a holiday, then today I'll be punished for it. And previously I wouldn't be. Previously, if I didn't steal, if I didn't kill, if I didn't do anything, leave me alone, great. Oh, he's okay. What do you want from him? Today it's not going to help. Today, even if I can't just live, you know, by myself without it harming anyone, but I'm not giving, it's considered stealing. Yes.
But my really question is, if nobody is willing to receive, nobody is willing to receive what I'm giving, isn't that a bit of a problem too?
אבל השאלה שלי בעצם, אם אף אחד לא מוכן לקבל,
he's translating the question,
אני רוצה לתת, האם זה לא בעיה בפני עצמה גם כן?
אני לא מבין באיזה צורה היא חושבת שהיא צריכה לתת.
I don't understand in what way she thinks she's supposed to give. First of all, we're talking about internal participation, emotional one, that we belong to one humanity, that we have to be connected. The Creator isn't requiring of us to start giving gifts to each other. Our participation is, first of all, in understanding. We give primarily to the world, for better or for worse, through our thoughts, through our attitude, in our desires, not in our bodies. If I want to, if my desires are to participate with everyone, are correct and true, that's all we need. And nature will treat me well and provide everything I need, and will give me everything I need. So it's not about physical actions. But in physical actions in our world, as Bala Sulam writes, in the last generation, we have to work and care for the world until the whole world truly has the necessary sustenance.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I am, like you say, the nature is giving me things all the time. But if I say, no thanks, this is not for me, because I will manage on my own. I won't listen to nature. I just do this on my own all the time. I refuse to listen to nature.
אז בעצם אם הטבע כל הזמן נותן לי ואני מסרבת לקבל.
He's translating the question.
נותן לי, אז אני כאילו לא מקשיבה לטבע, אני מסרבת להקשיב לטבע.
חסר לנו,
we need, what we don't have is the internal sensation of what nature or the Creator are trying to tell us. What do they want by this give and take, take and give? What does he want by that? For us to begin to discover him, to start receiving from him and giving to him. So in this way, we come in contact with him as it is in the world of Ein Sof, as the way we are at the root of creation. These things, we need to develop them bit by bit. They don't develop by now. I cannot give you a tip. Just tell you, do this and that, and it'll be okay. But through study, through this internal quest, new desires will appear in you. We said that we're all desires, and we'll need these desires in which we can sense the Creator. So, through this searching, you will begin to feel that something subtler desires are being developed in you that begin to sense His presence here of this upper force in our world that fills this whole world, and you feel that you are in it, and you begin to you're starting to have a dialogue with it, into giving and receiving with it, and along with it, with the whole of humanity. And then you'll begin to see that each of us really is giving and receiving among us and with the Creator. And when that system appears in this way of desires that are in this kind of connection, and that they interconnect and they connect with the Creator in this reciprocity, like in some fiction film, I'm not sure how to describe it, of course, without bodies. And that state must be sensed in us as a real, tangible state. And that is developed only through the right society, the right study, when new desires develop. It's not a question of whom to give, how to give, how to connect. You're asking about actions. And I'm talking about the development of desires, new desires. And that's what we need. And in them, we will feel what to give to whom and what to receive. That's the problem. The Creator doesn't need us to give and to receive. He needs the development of these new desires because He wants to elevate us. He doesn't want us to live here in humanity, in a good in good relationships among ourselves. That's not the purpose of having a good congenial life here in this world for 80 or 90 years or what. The goal is only to develop new desires through each other to achieve the dimension where we all feel together filled with the light of Ein Sof. She said, thank you very much.
The correction of the 613 desires, there's a system of reward, pleasure, or suffering, pain.
התיקון של 613 רצונות יש שם מערכת של סבל והנאה.
עוד פעם?
בתיקון 613 הרצונות יש שם מערכת של סבל והנאה.
And my question is, how do we recognize those things that bring us towards the goal, the pleasures? How do we recognize those?
השאלה שלי, איך אנחנו מזהים את אותם דברים שאמורים לקרב אותנו כלפי המטרה, את אותם תענוגים ואת הסבל, איך אנחנו מזהים אותם?
אנחנו לומדים אתכם. We learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah about the creation of the world, where through the light the desire develops. That's the light, and that's the desire. And the light and the desire evolve through five stages until they reach the last stage, which is Malchut Ein Sof. This Malchut Ein Sof then went through the first restriction, and following the Tzimtzum built a Masach. Masach. After the Masach, the screen, Malchut turned itself into a Patsuf. It said, I don't want to simply receive light. I want to receive light according to my own calculations. So first, I have to build something I didn't have before, which is a Rosh, a head, a mind. I didn't have a mind previously because I received all the light in Malchut Ein Sof. Now I have a Rosh, this mind or head. There's a Peh, a mouth. I'm not sure how you spell Peh. Okay, H, right. Okay. As much as I can receive light in order to be similar to the Creator, to give to Him as much as I receive from Him, is what I receive within. It's called Toch, internal, on the insides, from Peh through to Tabu, which is the navel. I don't receive, or the place where I can't receive remains empty. And it's called Sof, end. That's the whole structure. That's all there is. Afterwards, Malchut makes scrutinies more and more and more and more of how much she can receive in order to give to the Creator. And then, in its structure, it reaches a state where it can receive even this far, where in all of its calculations, it receives so much, but there are desires in which she can't, and they remain, these desires remain empty. And then she divides them. The part where she can receive is called Golgalta Einayim. The part where she can't is called Achab. 248, 365, she calculates all in all 613 desires. To correct each desire, there is a special light from above, because it created every desire, every quality. So, corresponding to the 613 desires, we have 613 lights. And these lights affect the desires and correct them. I don't know which desires should be corrected in me every time. If I'm talking about me, then I am in this world. A point, a drop of semen, in which, just like in a drop of semen from which we are born, there are 613 desires. But no desire has a direction, volume, a way to realize it. It's just a mere desire, abstract desire. And I have to put light on it, which will correct these desires and make them develop. The light affects it. The light that affects it is called surrounding light. It affects these desires and builds a patsuf out of these desires. In these desires that develop, 613 desires, it's called a patsuf already. In these desires, there are 613 parts. But it's like an embryo that we can see in its mother's womb. First, the head develops, and then legs and the hands and all kinds of things, different parts. Every day during the 9 months, we see how the embryo develops in a different way, in a very strange kind of progress. First those, and something else, and something else. Why? We're not going to talk about it now. It's impossible. It's about the three lines, and there's a lot to it, a lot of information. But the important thing for us is we don't need to relate to it, really. I myself don't know how I have to develop. It's not even my problem, because it's the influence of the light on that desire, on the point in the heart, that builds the patsuf. I just need to want to be like the Creator. Just want. Just desire it. When a child grows, does it know what it's going to become? No, nature pushes it, prompts it. He's playing, he's learning, he watches examples from grown-ups, and that's how he grows. So it's not our problem how the 613 desires develop. The important thing is to want to move forward. And every time we will see ourselves in new ways. When I arrive at a certain state, you already know. When I'm in a certain state, now I think, okay, now forward, further still. What can I do now? After some time, I suddenly see myself at degree number 2, and I didn't think that I'd be in that state.
I didn't think, I couldn't say even for a minute that I'm in that state, because the desires are new, and they start to clarify, and I see suddenly a new world. And that's every time, over and over again. And even if people start out of their experience, even beginners, out of the experience, they start to sense it like that. Therefore, we don't have to pay attention to it. The main thing is only the movement forward. All right? Yes.
Raf, what's the relation between cause and consequence? Let's say I do a good deed, and nature reacts accordingly. Then a new regiment pops up and I don't realize it. Is the reaction immediately?
You can't see the connectivity. You cannot see the connection between cause and effect, because for that you have to know the whole system. Until we, how do we, how can we see the connection between cause and effect? If I influence the whole system, bestow on the whole system, that's all the souls? All the souls. And then the way I influence it, if bestow them, that come back to me. It comes back to me. How can I tell, how can I know that system? I can know it, I'll tell you when. We learn that we go till we come to the purpose of creation. We go through concealment, hester, and then 2 stages of revelation, gilui. The first stage of revelation is the degree of bina. And the second stage is the degree of Keter. Bina is the Galgalta and Einaim that we correct. And Keter is when we correct the Achap also. In Bina, we only ascend from our ego. When the ego is inside, and I can raise over all my ego, over my 613 desires, everything. I acquire the full, complete degree of Bina and bestow. And then I go further, higher. I start taking that ego in order to bestow. I start building a Kali here in which I receive in order to bestow. This very same ego, I'm start using it in the following way. Until I have come to that last stage, when I receive in order to bestow, when I receive the light of Chochmah,
light of wisdom,
until I'm not receiving the light of wisdom, the light of Chochmah, it is not considered that I'm connected to that whole general system, because I have to give to it in order to receive back a return from it, a reaction from it. So all that I depicted here, all that I draw here, that happens only on that last stage. When you come to it, you can ask, what do I bestow on the rest of the souls, and what do I receive from them? You have ahead of you the whole system completely clear, open to you. What do I input into that system, the sum of all the souls? And as much as I receive, I came to the stage where I'm similar to the Creator, it's quality to the Creator, and that returns to me in a either positive or negative feedback. That's the equalization system, equilibrium. Then you have a clear knowledge in front of you. You're already managing the world, because the world is the sum of these souls. Then you are truly as the Creator, according to how much you equalize yourself to Him. Beforehand, it sounds nice, but we cannot clarify it. We can't scrutinize it.
The question?
Those questions. Yes, the lady there.
The only way to love the other is to desire everything, and if yes, what is this everything?
The only way to love the friend is to desire everything? No, the only way to love everyone is to want everything, and if wanting everything, then what is this everything? No, the way to love the fellow man is included a few stages. First of all, we have to see whether I'm even capable of those things. Do I really need it? Two things must be in it. I have to know the necessity in it. I have to have a necessity in it. I have to come to the love of a fellow...
Of others.
To love of others. Because the blows intensify, and start hearing that I'm interconnected with others. You hear what the bankers say nowadays. They say, oh, it's a wrong world, global world, we're interconnected. There's a lack of faith, of trust. Yeah, no trust. We all have to be considerate towards one another, take each other into account, because we're dependent on one another now. It's people that only have money in their eyes. They're like dollar signs. They start talking about the lack of trust, we have to be together, friends. What friends? You come to the bank, you just want to take... skin you totally, not just your clothing, but your whole skin. Suddenly they talk about love. Soon they're going to write songs to you, yeah? All those that don't know how to count money. Why? It's a great example. reality compels them. If I feel that I depended on everyone, then I have no choice. I come to everyone and says, I'd like to love you guys. Why? Because I depend on you. It's our nature. We are desire to enjoy. We're so small. We are so stupid. We're so interdependent on everyone. If I feel that I depend on everyone, then I would like a baby out of lack of choice would just stand like that and say, oh, I don't know what to do. Everyone, bring me all the Schwarzenegger, or I don't care who, all those heroes. Nah, it's nothing. Therefore, opening of the eyes, what we have now these days that bring us to knowing that we are one system, it is something that would bring us to recognition that we have to be friends. Not loving each other, I don't know what you call, define as love or he. Or the question is, how do we feel that term called love? Love is called when I care for you and him, because it comes back to me, egoistically, yeah? So far. That it comes back to me, and the more I treat, the way I treat others, through them, I treat myself. You see all those systems that we depicted here? They're all working the same way, that we are interconnected, that we have no other choice. It returns back to me. That's why I want to love. Suddenly I want to love everyone. Now the question is, are we ready to love everyone? So the Creator brings us bidding, and we want to love. But we are now in the recognition of evil. I'm incapable. I understand that if I treat those people good, well, I'll feel well. And suddenly I realize that I can't treat them well, good. I hate them. But it depends on my internal attitude in my heart, whether I'm going to love them or not. And I see that my heart, I can smile maybe and do whatever, fake it, but my heart is ready to eat them, to kill them. That's called recognition of evil. It's a special stage in advancement. When we come to recognition of evil, that we are unable to do anything with our nature, then opens to us something else in our brain, in our mind, that there is an upper force that will execute that correction on me, that I will be able to love everyone. I must have the Creator, because without Him, I'll die. Without Him, I'll treat everyone badly and bring them blows all the time. So, out of lack of choice, I come to the Creator and say, please help me, make me be good to everyone. All right, fine, if you're asking to be good, I'll make you good straight away, make me good. And then I start to sense His quality, the quality of love, the quality of bestowal. And to that degree, I start to sense Him, that general force that fulfills the whole of nature, that spins the whole of nature, that drives the whole of nature. In such way, we come to His degree. Have I answered the question or not?
No.
Okay. Rav, you answered part of the question I had. I'll just sharpen the question, because what you describe now is the stages that happen to a person who have the dot in the heart. No. What dot in the heart? I spoke about bankers from Moscow. What point in the heart? There's not even heart. There's not even a dot in the heart. What heart? Okay. Sorry. We saw how things speeding up now much faster. We saw that we're giving those explanations to the whole world and people. Why do I confuse you and fill you up with all those things that happen in the world? Because maybe you don't understand. You poor buggers arrived here and here about the world and correction of the worlds and where we're We came to hear about ourselves. What's happened with me? Because we entered that global system, we will not be able to correct ourselves solely. I cannot, as I was 30 years or maybe 100 years ago, even 30 years ago, I studied with Rabash. I advanced by myself, without the group also, with him, personally, in a personal manner. Now it is impossible. The moment we came, as I said, when someone released the clutch, we all became as cogwheels together. That's it. Now I cannot correct myself without the rest of the world. As much as I cause the world, the correction will return to me and send me up. Therefore, we're talking constantly about the yes. The question was to sharpen it is how between the blows. From the blows, the world comes to the conclusion that it needs to receive the third aspect, and which is the Creator. Between the blow and the Creator. That's the question.
I didn't understand it. There are the blows that are now intensifying. In each blow, there's a lot of calculations, because the blow doesn't just come from blind nature, it comes through the system. To the extent that we're unable, to the extent that we are behind, to the extent that we don't fulfill our own correction, don't execute our correction, to compel us to correct, to aim us, to direct us, to orient us, to show us where we're wrong, where we're off track. Like you teach kids, you don't just beat them up. In every blow, we should find its direction, what it teaches us, how it comes, why, where from. As a result, we'll learn, of course, without discovering next to it the wisdom of Kabbalah that explains to you how to relate to it, how to view it. Humanity won't be able to develop these things by itself. We will never be able to naturally discover this process, because this process happens above our egos. That's the problem. Why is it that when the wisdom of Kabbalah was revealed, people didn't want to use it? in our egos, while I'm in my ego, all I know is when there's a blow, what can I do with it or against it? I go towards the plus or minus according to these blows, according to my ego. Look at what they're now trying to do in their conference, the 20 heads of states. They'll talk and they'll talk, but they'll leave as they came. Because what's missing is the understanding of our development, that within nature there is a law, and they don't know it. They don't recognize that nature has laws, the human nature, the human society, and we are in that law, in our egos. And we have to take it into consideration, otherwise we draw away from it, so we suffer. So, here, without advertising, publicizing the wisdom of Kabbalah, people won't be able to reach it by themselves. They'll run around it many times. He'll have all kinds of philosophies. They'll develop 1,000 theories. But they won't reach the solution by themselves. This is why, as much as we can, we must show what the wisdom of Kabbalah says about it. Yes.
Ich habe eine Frage zu den Regimot, und zwar wie ist der Zusammenhang zwischen Anstrengung und wie ist der Zusammenhang zwischen Anstrengung und Schlägen. Sie haben zuerst gesagt, wenn man sich nicht richtig verhält, bekommt man Schläge. Und jetzt, wenn wir eine Krise haben, heißt das, wir haben uns in den letzten Jahren nicht richtig angestrengt als Gruppe. Und es gab Elisabeth, auch Kabbalisten, Moment, die gefoltert
Elisabeth,
wurden.
Elisabeth, Moment.
One moment, Elisabeth, please. I have a question about Rishimot and blows. You said that recently.
Der Anstrengung und den Schlägen.
What's the connection between effort and blows?
Ob wir uns als Gruppe nicht richtig angestrengt haben, ob man diesen Schluss ziehen kann.
Meaning, you could say that we, as a group, didn't make sufficient effort, and that's why we suffered blows?
Rabbi Shimon, er hat einen schrecklichen Tod. Hat er sich nicht genug angestrengt? Oder kann man das in dieser Stufe nicht sagen?
Or can it be said that, for example, Rabbi Shimon died in pain, or that Rabbi Akiva died in pain because he didn't make sufficient efforts, or can we not say it? No, we cannot say with respect to these giants why they suffer blows. Rabbi Akiva is truly an obvious example at how he suffered and how his whole life were difficult. But we can't say anything about it because, again, a great Kabbalist doesn't belong to himself. You can't think of him as an individual because he has to bring the wisdom of Kabbalah to the rest of the world. That's why he teaches the world. And here, there's no private calculation for himself. He could be completely corrected, but because he's included in the whole world, he suffers for the whole world, he's included, integrated in all the desires of the whole world, he has different, there are different considerations about him. His destiny is not like an ordinary person's fate. With the group rises and falls. What happens to it should be considered as a Kabbalist, should be viewed like a Kabbalist. All kinds of blows. It suffers all kinds of blows and changes according to the changes it should undergo. It could be because they did not correct themselves and did not disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah as much as they could. It could also be such blows that really are, that from above, they need to be taught fast and to prepare them for some action. Let's not call it blows, call it pressure. If I want a child to quickly prepare himself for a test, I don't beat him up for the past as a punishment. But now, so he would create a greater output, I apply pressure to him. So there are blows that come to us because we're behind, personally or as a group. And there are blows that are not blows, but we can even see that these are more pressures, not, you know, do it quickly, you know, hurry. It's things that make us move faster towards dissemination, towards the new stage. Yes, Eddie. Rav, now that we're talking about the crisis, we're asked, what do we need to do? And we truly don't have a clear answer, but what kind of social state or what kind of economical system do we need to move to? And what do Kabbalists write about it? Especially also in the finance, what's going to happen with these things? What's the ideal state? The ideal state in humanity, you mean now? The ideal state in humanity is for all of humanity to start understanding where the blows are coming from. Why they are coming. What is their purpose. And what nature demands of us. As he writes here, that nature will eventually defeat us, but through blows. And we want to do it in a quick and pleasant way. If people know this, and to some extent agree with it. That's all that we need. We'll receive the knowledge and the sensation of how to change. We'll receive it. The problem is that humanity doesn't know it. And that's what we need to do. If next to whatever those bankers do there, the thinkers and psychologists and sociologists and whoever, if next to it we would put a global education system together, is how the world is built, what systems act in it, how they're all interconnected, everything that Kabbalah talks about. Without the word Kabbalah, without creator, without creature, without religions, without anything, just nature, out of what biologists are telling us, doctors, how our bodies are built, that they're built as one body, sociologists, psychologists, how we're all built, and how, and the structure of the world, of today's world, all kinds of demographs, everyone, even the bankers, financiers, economists, they have a very clear and acute knowledge of how the world has become connected, all the stock markets, the sources of raw materials, industry, the shipping of products all over the world. They feel it in their guts. They don't read it in the books. They feel this connection. They feel this interdependency. They're yelling, that they're crying out, there's nothing we can do. If we could just add to it the general, clear knowledge to each of them, to every family, by that, people would change their natures, even just a little, out of lack of a choice. They would agree. They would accept it. They would have any choice. Yeah, that's the way it is. I'm an egoist. I don't want that. But I have to. You know, it's like there are all kinds of films from Hollywood where a spaceship lands and wants to conquer Earth. It hangs over us, you know, this huge black thing, and we don't know where to run, what to do, right? That's it. What are you going to do? So if everyone understands what we're facing today, it's worse than that spaceship. It's much worse. Without trying to terrify people, God forbid, just explain that it's to our benefit, that through it we'll grow wiser, like little kids. We'll acquire understanding and knowledge. We'll open our eyes. We'll see another half of reality that we're in, prior to birth and after death. We'll open up the hidden world, which is ours. We live in it. We just don't know about the other half of life. You understand? I walk in there, I come out of there, I go back in there, I leave there. But what's happening there? This knowledge is what we lack today. We want to know. Without it, what's this life worth? So it turns out that all humanity needs is an education system. And that's what we need to produce. Concerning the education system, we just need to explain to them about this situation, or do we also, well, that's my question really. Do we also need to explain to them how Baal HaSulam described the last generation? Well, it depends. Baal HaSulam wrote these things, and his articles in general, he didn't write it in a gradual manner, the way we have to explain it to everyone. Take an article of his and explain it to beginners. They won't be able to digest it, to accept it. They won't be able to understand it. They'll reject it. Divide it into parts and give them each part from the superficial to the deeper, then it'll be accepted. You have to build their minds, you have to build their systems so they'll accept these things as they are. Initially, people can't. Our nature is completely against the spiritual nature. Look at how many years it takes us to start hearing what this is about, because we're opposite from the spiritual system. Okay. Yes. Okay. Our friend is my beloved student, a veteran.
Yes. Ich habe, um was vorher zu sagen zu dem, ich will ein bisschen was ausholen. Und zwar geht es um den Adam.
He says he's very, he wants to ask about Adam.
Adam ist 50. So? Die Numerologie. Okay, ist egal. Aber Adam, und es heißt ähnlich, und auf das den physischen Faktor zu bringen, die 45, Quatsch, dieses Adam. Was sind wir? Wir sind so, zum Großteil sind wir aus Mem. Was ist das, 80?
He's asking Adam in Gematria is 45. So what are we?
Weiterzumachen mit der Mem. Was ist groß auf der Welt?
He says we are 40. I'll tell you what he's asking. Okay.
Es geht um Wasser und Luft. Also H2O.
Adam in Gematria. Ma is 45. But the important thing about this Ma is that it's Mem and Hey. Mem is 40, Hey is 5. Mem is Bina. And Hey is Malchut. The connection of Bina and Malchut is Adam, and also a person. Okay?
Mir geht es um den Adam, der gleich ist zu Adamä und als Gott gleich. Adam kommt von Adamä. Und das ist gleich. Und wir sind so 70% aus Wasser. Und
he says that I'd like to ask about Adam, who's be Adame, be like. We are 70% made of water.
So,
and water is H. H2O.
Diese Physik, den Menschen nahezubringen, das ist mir eigentlich ein Ding, dass wir, um das zu vereinfachen für die Leute, dass wir sind alle
gottgleich. Eddie, explain to him. I can send him to the sources. He asked possibly about the force, about oxygen, which is in the water, H2O. So, Baal HaSulam have an explanation about it that called oxygenation of desires. We will give it to him. Where is it? In Pri Chacham articles. No, it's in articles for my flesh. I'll watch godliness. I think you should watch there. The force of oxygen and oxidation. He grabs the material very deeply. Yeah. He has a very special grasp. Yeah. Okay, we have a few more minutes. Are you tired? All right, the lady there.
Thank you. My question is, how many of our world leaders and government officials study with us today and even know about this knowledge of Kabbalah?
Can you repeat it again, please?
How many of our world leaders and government officials study with us today and how many even know of this knowledge, wisdom of Kabbalah?
Kama mi manigei ha'olam ve'ha...
And will you repeat the questions? I could not tell, even whatever I know, because it is forbidden, and they are studying. Truly, world leaders, I don't know. I think that still some of it comes to them. A bit lower degree of a world leader, definitely. People who are around them, the advisors. It's not that they study, rather they hear, here and there, what we're talking about. That's why I'm hopeful that we'll soon come to a state that you'd be heard and also you'd be sought after, because as teachers that have both knowledge and internal force to come and explain to the world. That's what Bala Sulam writes, that we will have to work in it in action. I know that they study our material, a lot of people. How it will influence in the near future, I don't know. There are still stages ahead that I only know them in general. How they will truly realize and materialize, I don't know, and I don't think that anyone, even if he was the greatest Kabbalist than I, would have known. Because these are hidden things. Until they actualize, we cannot tell. A Kabbalist is only a researcher, like a physicist, only of the spiritual world. Meaning, just like physics in this world, when they reveal all kind of nature's phenomena, also a Kabbalist is a person only. But inside of him, he developed senses that he can sense through them the physics of the spiritual world. Surely it opens knowing and the ability to see through the matter and how the system is working, but in a very limited way. Also, even if this Kabbalist could reach higher degrees, but if he is connected to humanity and must advance alongside with it, then he will not be allowed to see more than he needs in order to execute his task towards humanity. And also us, all of our advancement is only related to as much as we advance the world itself. Therefore, I cannot predict what's going to happen. I really hope that they'll start to listen very quickly. I hear, according to articles and all kind of things that they talk about, or it is mentioned in their environment, even if not through the media, I hear that they start, to some extent, to speak very close to our tune. We'll hope they will help, because that's where we're dependent, what we're dependent on. Either we evolve by wars and famine and plagues and who knows what, or we advance in a good, pleasant way. We'll make congresses, we'll study all together in humanity, we'll connect, and in such way come to the same goal. This is all now crucial state. So let's hope we'll talk about it, but definitely now it's the first time in humanity the state of realizing that wisdom of revelation of the Creator, of the spiritual world, of the world of Ein Sof, our emergence from all this shell, from this radish the Kabbalists tell us that all our world is dark and there's nothing here by comparison to the spiritual world. You see how something you get kind of a special impression, elation. How far does it take you? But a Kabbalist, in the smallest degree, feel billion times more. It's not hidden from him, but he has a screen. He holds it in. You know how to manage those things alongside with this huge impression and that fulfillment, that endless fulfillment. But definitely, it is all ahead of us. So I'm very glad that we are meeting and that we're talking about it. And that you are ready. The truth is, I see here, I sense you that you're completely ready. So we have a fantastic future, excellent future. Thank you very much. Thank you.